Just before we get started, the Second Act Podcast would like to acknowledge that we are recording this podcast on Treaty 7 land inhabited by the Blackfoot Nations. This includes the Siksika, Piikani, and Kainai. We would also like to acknowledge the Tsuut'ina and Stoney Nakoda First Nations, as well as the Métis Nations and all people who make their home on Treaty 7 land in southern Alberta. But now that we've paid respects to people that were here before us, let's start the pod.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Second Act Podcast, and today's is a good podcast, although it's kind of weird to listen to.
Well, I can understand why you'd say that. It's to think that there's actually a real person behind that content. I know sometimes it's a little different to see somebody on the internet in a, you know, a kind of a sexually charged position and think that that's just a person. But I mean, we found somebody who lives in Airdrie just, you know, up the road from us here, who's doing just that.
Longtime listeners of the pod might remember Olivia. We had Olivia Hartley back on the pod, like episode 17 or something. And we kind of almost came full circle with this one, although it's different work. Olivia did more like sex work in person, whereas Emma Stone, I don't think we've actually mentioned her name yet. Emma does more online virtual OnlyFans and other creation like that. And so it's interesting to see like the perspective of the distributor of the content that like, you know, is out there.
Oh yeah, and that's the thing, is it's out there. Everyone knows about it. I mean, there's no point in putting your head in the sand. So I thought it was just super fun to talk to a girl who's doing it. And I mean, she's makes no bones about it. She doesn't need to do it. She's got a great full-time job, and now that full-time job is a part-time job because she's been so successful at content creation on OnlyFans. And I think, you know, she doesn't make any excuses for what she does, nor should she. And I think it's really cool for to have a young lady like that embracing all of her avenues for revenues.
Well, yeah, and in today's day and age, it's becoming less and less of a taboo subject, but it's still a little awkward to sit down with your dad and talk about OnlyFans, you know. But it's definitely, and Emma's one of the ones like leading the charge of making it less awkward and making it an avenue where you can express, because that's what it is, right? It's a form of expression. It's the same as writing a song, just in your own way.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's it's nobody's asking you or forcing you to consume her content. If you go on OnlyFans and look for what she brings, it's there, and you. If you don't want that, you don't have to do anything with it. So I think it's a lot of fun, and it's something different. And, you know, I really don't feel like you and I can sit here and do it justice. So why don't we kick it over to Emma Stone?
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's a unique opportunity for us at the Second Act Podcast to sit down and talk to somebody who works in the oil field as her quote unquote day job. but does something like creates content for OnlyFans on the side. I think there's probably a lot of questions people have, and I hope we can have a conversation and maybe answer some of them and take some of the mystery around what goes into a life like that.
For sure. I'd love to answer some questions.
So obviously the first question everyone is gonna arrive at is why, but I think there's probably a lot more that goes into that question than just answering why. I think we need to understand a little bit about who Emma is and her life kind of up until that point.
Yeah. I'm an open book. I decided to start doing it just to make a few extra bucks. And I thought my personality would kind of fit it. And so I was like, well, why not try it? And if I make an extra $100 a month, that'd be cool. And it actually turned out a lot better than that. Like, I can't believe where I've gotten with all my social medias, which I find is insane. Like, even just being asked to be on like this podcast, like when Dick originally was like, oh, I have a lead on another one for you, I was like, what? That is wild. Like, I would love to, you know, people want to listen to me talk, I could talk all day.
Well, that's exactly what the type of podcast we aim to be, is to take people that you know, might be grocery shopping beside or walking behind in the mall, and they have this whole other part of their life, and they're doing these things that, you know,
fill their cup, the thing that fulfills them that their day job might not do, and talk about it and take some of the mystery out of it. Because I think whether it's a OnlyFans creator or somebody who's, you know, trying to become an artist on the side or play the guitar for a living, the parts that go into those decisions and what they decide to pursue, there's so many other people out there having those same questions and thoughts. And I just love to put it out to people to say, oh, there's somebody else out there that was thinking the same thing I was.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's wild. Like, there's so many people that are like, I've thought about doing it, and like, will give me their 2 cents. And it's like, but this, but that, but the other thing, like, I have like a ton of friends that are nurses, and they can't, just because they'll lose their nursing license if they got caught doing it. So like, it's wild how, and I love all my friends and like, thank God we have them, but it's wild how some careers, it's like, oh no, you can only do so much on your off hours.
Like, so speaking of that, so you're an oil field medic in your day job, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there has to be, you know, if it's not forbidden, there's certainly some raised eyebrows. What when you decided to do this, was it something that you had to let your bosses know about, or did you just kind of let it happen? that looks like maybe they just found out on their own.
No, well, yeah. So the first company the first company that I was doing OnlyFans and working for at the same time, I started in December. And it was May, the first time someone actually recognized me on location on a plant turnaround. Shout out to that guy. I forget his name. I feel bad. And then he like said hi when he signed in. And then he went and talked to his buddy. And his buddy came back and was like, can I have your autograph? And I was like, okay. And then after that, people started noticing and stuff. And then I actually had a subscriber tell me that I was being talked about around location a little bit. And I was like, oh, it's been a few years since I was in high school. But apparently one of the supervisors nipped it in the butt and said, you know, don't talk about that here. Be respectful. Da da da. I know that's not totally true, because I've had some people in my comments say a lot of shit, which, whatever.
Yeah.
But it was nice working with that company. Like, they, for the, like, as far as day-to-day went, everyone was respectful to me on location. And that's one thing that really gets me in TikToks. It's people are like, you're ruining the medic name. And I'm like, how am I ruining the medic name when I still can go to work and get respected every day by my coworkers? Like, I don't understand. Like, it's not me ruining the name. It's you're working with terrible people who don't give anyone respect. Like, respect is, yeah, I guess it's something you earn these days. But when you don't know them, it's like, don't judge them or assume.
Well, and like a medic in the oil field, there are people that work for the same company for a number of years, but you know, different companies are awarded different contracts and they have to staff up and staff down. So, I mean, you could get a job and something could be, you know, people could be not aware of who you are for an extended period, and then the word gets out. So, I mean, if you go and do a bunch of turnarounds or you take on a winter project or something like that, I mean, you're getting probably to the point now where it doesn't take people long to understand exactly what you do on your own time. But it also, there had to have been, like, you would get found out and then you could go an extended period on the next project without getting found out again, probably.
Yeah, totally. And like, I purposely pick small companies that work in little places. Like, I have friends that are on like the major pipeline in BC and they're like, come work here. And I'm like, in a 500 person camp, I know how algorithms work, and I'm not putting myself like in that position. And I try to keep myself away as much as I can. Like, even doing my UFA videos, I don't post, I post different UFAs, and man, everyone thinks I'm in Grand Prairie or Fox Creek, which I find hilarious, which is also a good reminder to not believe everything you see on the internet. Like, I portray what I want to portray on the internet.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the part that everybody has to understand is that it's that's not you, like, you know, with your Christian name out there doing that. This is this character, no different than, you know, like, I don't know, Rachel from Friends. Like, that's not Jennifer Aniston. That's a character she plays. And this is same kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So how, when you're doing that stuff, like, have you always kind of been of a bit of a maverick who had a little thicker skin to try and do stuff like this? Or was this something that really tested your mettle as you started kind of getting feedback and people knowing who you were?
It's definitely been a bit of a struggle. Like, I've definitely had to grow a lot emotionally and, like, mentally, because there's some people who are so nice and loving, and that I find from my everyday life in the past 20 years that have known me. Like, one guy from high school messaged me this morning, was like, "Hey, hope you subscribed," and I'm like, "Not at all, you're so sweet." Yeah. Whereas, like, other people that it does weigh down a lot is all the negative comments I get. But I, like, just remember, like, some of my best friends are like, "I'm so proud of you because you don't give a fuck." And I'm like, "Yeah, most of the time." But also, like, why give a fuck and let someone else get you down when they don't have to live in my body? They don't have to make my dinner. Like, they don't have to do my laundry or buy my clothes. And they don't benefit me at all. So at the end of the day, like, there's one guy who comes in my live pretty much every time I go live just to talk smack. And I'm like, "You can stay because you boost my algorithm in the wrong way," kind of, but whatever.
Well, and that's, like, that's a little bit of a drawback or whatever of the way social media is constructed, is you kind of need that dichotomy of the good and the bad to kind of, because it tricks the algorithm into thinking that everybody's interested, people that look at this type of stuff and people that look at this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it makes it so when you're doing stuff like that, how do you kind of know when you're willing, what you're willing to put up with because of the nature of what you do versus, okay, I've had enough and this is unhealthy?
I don't. You just kind of guess and check. Like, very rarely I will block someone. Like, if I am just completely, like, can't handle a comment, I'll block it. Generally, I will make a video back. And when I make a video back, all the people who love me come out in the comments. Like, even, like, in my comments now, like, whenever people try to talk negatively, there's, you know, 1, 2, 3 people in there right away being like, "Dude, keep scrolling. Like, whatever. Like, she's awesome. Like, get out of here. Like, you're just jealous. You are a nameless, faceless nothing." And yeah, so.
So are there other creators of this style? Like, obviously they're around, but do you identify them? I think you recently went on a trip where you were, didn't you just go to Vegas for some kind of a, I don't want to call it a meetup, it sounds like a comic book convention, but like,
it was the Adult Entertainment Awards.
Oh yeah. So is there there had to have been tons of those people out there, right?
There was tons of creators. Like, I met this one chick. I need to look up her name so I don't screw it up. Officially Bark is her name on TikTok, and I met her in Vegas, and I was like, "Oh, like, where are you from?" Because originally when I first got there, I was like, "I'm from Alberta." And everyone's like, "Canada?" I'm like, "I'm from Canada." Okay. So then I started saying Canada. And then this chick's like, Official Bark's like, "Where are you from in Canada?" It's like, "Alberta." She's like, "I'm from Saskatchewan." I was like, "Oh my God, like, so cool." And she came down there on her own too. So that was super neat to meet someone else who was kind of doing the same thing from the same area. I met a lot of huge creators, like giant creators that I could only, like, ever dream to hang out with and whatnot. So that was amazing. But also in Alberta, like, I follow a fair amount of local creators. And honestly, I don't know why, I feel like most of them are in Edmonton. And that's just a bit of a drive away that I don't make too often. But it's really interesting to see the different people and their take at it. Like, Canadian comic Cutie is one from Edmonton, and she does a bunch of cosplay, and I love watching her and her cosplays. Like, she does 24-hour cosplay builds, and it's so cool to see that. I'm like, she can bring these visions alive and everything, and I would like, that's one thing I don't really do much of is cosplay, and I want to get into that. I also bought a gaming chair because I was going to start gaming and playing, like, streaming on Twitch. I got a chair about a year ago. Not on Twitch yet.
Well, and there is so many ways you can go from that. Like, you kind of maybe started at closer to the finish line going straight to OnlyFans. But, like, if you can take it, and like you say, you can game on Twitch, or, you know, you can have all kinds of online communities. You can create on YouTube, on Reddit. There's all kinds of places to go. What's the appetite for that? I mean, you must be incredibly busy just doing what you're currently doing, right?
So I am, but like, I'm not, because I feel like TikTok has been really hard for all the creators lately. So before it was like, oh, I'll go do this dance, I'll go do this. Whereas now it's like, okay, like, do a vlog of your life, or like your day to day, or like, you need to try and do something different to get the algorithm on TikTok. So I find I'm just wasting a lot of time scrolling TikTok, not getting a bunch of ideas. So I'm thinking, if I do take the time to start in these other avenues, then I will be able to, it'll be different people too. So I can find different subscribers, as well as just do something a little different than just be frustrated with TikTok every day. Because the last time I had one good video in the last 2 weeks was me in a bikini from Vegas, and I am not a small girl by any means, and I was dancing and jumping in my bikini, and I guarantee the 600 people that shared it weren't all you go girls. I can only imagine the amount of people who, like, oh, look at her, to like their friends and stuff, which, whatever, my video did really good and it helped me out, because then the people who like me are going to click the links. And so my Instagram grew that day, my Twitter grew that day, but the back of my head, I'm like, I wonder how many people were talking shitty.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, that's obviously, that's human nature to think like that, because I mean, you could post your high school report card with straight A's, and you're like, how many people are gonna be talking shit about that, right? Like, that's just where we are as a society. Nobody's else is allowed to have anything nice. But at the same time, you have to kind of, there's a certain power into the fuck it of it all, to say, I'm going to post it anyways, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing, is I'm like, why? Like, thinking back to like me in high school, and it's like, I would wear a tank top unless I was like going into the water. Then I would wear a bikini and stuff. But like, I just remember feeling so self-conscious, and I'm like, I'm so happy now that I will wear the bikini. I will wear any bikini. Like, I will wear ridiculous stuff, and I don't care, and whatever. Like, if it doesn't make you happy or fulfill you, then you can block me or scroll or whatever. Figure out what you need to do.
So what brought that change about? Was it actually starting the life of creation in OnlyFans, or were you already feeling like that before you started doing that?
No, it was like 5 years ago, I lost probably 40 pounds from my highest weight. And so then I was feeling really good about myself. And I had like an Instagram that I made for weight loss, and I had 500 followers on that. And I was so happy about that. But then I just kind of teetered off that and went to work in the oil field, and I was working too long a day, so then I stopped working out, and then I kind of like lost my confidence and stuff. So then when I started OnlyFans, I was like, okay, I need to start working out, getting back into that mindset. And then I was like, fuck it, whatever, why not start today? And then people didn't care that I was exactly how I was. Like, I like look at so many people who have lost weight, and I'm like, oh my God, look at their mommy makeovers. Like, look at their BBLs. And I'm like, I need to not, because I need to think about what I'm happy with my own body. Like, I love my hair color, and like, it's naturally this red. And like, whenever I get a new hairdresser cut my hair, they're like, who dyed it? how did they dye it like this? Or like, how do you get this color combination? I'm like, it's just natural. And it's like, or like my dimples and my smile and like my chest too. So I can pick apart the parts of my body that I love so much more than the stuff that I don't like. And I just kind of focus on that now. And I'm like, you know what? This is the body I get. Why not be happy with it? I have started going back to the gym in the last few months, and I am super happy with that. And the biggest thing I like about the gym is seeing the weights go up that I can lift. Because I just want to be really strong. Like, honestly, crushing a watermelon with my thighs in the summertime is a big goal.
Well, and I think that's the right reasons, right? Like, that's, you know, to feel healthy, to feel strong, to feel better about yourself. And I mean, especially now with the advent of Instagram, if you wanted to go see a hourglass figure with, you know, Botox or, you know, any kind of girl that you want, they're out there. Mm-hmm. You can search the criteria, you can get her dialed right in. And there's something a little bit different about what you're bringing to it. So the people that are coming to see what you're offering are genuinely interested in what you're offering. And you're not just another, you know, BBL or whatever that, you know, that category they've just found, and they're scrolling through like, okay, busty redheads, you know, when they find you and they stop, they're like, okay, that's not just exactly what usually comes up in that search parameter, and they found you. And I mean, that's, everybody wants to set themselves apart by getting tattoos on their nipples or, you know, some ridiculous thing, and you're just naturally set apart by being comfortable with it. And you know, like I have a young daughter, she's 12 going on 13. And to hear the way you're talking about yourself, I think that's every person's dream, is to hear their daughter speak about their body that way, and you're comfortable with it. So I don't know why there'd be any shame in owning that.
Yeah. Totally. And that's the thing, is like, self-confidence isn't really taught. It's something you need to learn and have. And like, growing up, looking at the magazines and stuff, now finally, at least stuff's changed and there are many different types of bodies. But even still, I can't remember the last place I went, but still, like, some restaurants and stuff, you can tell, like, I don't know if Earl's Girls are still a thing, but I know in high school I couldn't work at Earl's because I was a bigger girl. And you need to be able to wear a little black skirt and heels every shift or whatnot, which I think is insane. Hopefully it doesn't happen anymore, but who knows?
Yeah, well, and I think there's always going to be a place for that, because there's always going to be people that can fill those requirements, right? Like, you know, that's how it's going to be. I think, for my opinion, it's more about accepting the people that don't look like that. You know, if Earl says that's their, you know, under the table philosophy, then that's fine. And sorry, Earl's Canada, don't strike us down for talking about you. We don't know, but then maybe you go down the street to the different restaurant, and there's more people working there. And for dudes too, I mean, you go into those places and there's guys with, you know, six pack abs working behind the bar and busting tables, and you know, strong jawlines and great hairlines. And I mean, it can be intimidating for any person to go in and see that. So it's nice to see that you can just be good at your job and remain employable, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's the biggest thing at the end of the day, is knowing your job and being able to do it.
So that lends to the next question about being a medic. And I mean, you've been a medic for a long time, right? You've got, what, 10 years or so in?
Yeah, I just redid my OFA for the fourth time. I did it my first time in 2014. Yeah, or no, 2013, I did it the first time.
Right. So you do have like a fallback option or whatever, a day job. What does that look like? Or do you, as you start to see success with the content creation, do you become less enthralled with going out and sitting on a well site? Or is it something that you just understand you're going to need to do because this might be fleeting and not last forever?
I kind of go back and forth. I've definitely taken some extended breaks. Like, I stopped medicating September 20, 1 to like February 22. I went back for a month and then I took another 6 months off. So I kind of, and then I went back this last fall. But I kind of pick and choose. It's now I don't need to be in the oil field. It's when I'm like, okay, this month I have it mentally. I can double down and work both jobs. So I can do that and save up more for a house and get more on the books when I do my taxes to get that house and whatnot. But when I start working 14-hour days and I can't go to the gym and I'm just feeling burnt out and I can't cook for myself, then I'm like, okay, I'm not enjoying being here. I'm hardly getting, like, I don't want to be on location. So it's just like getting up together in the morning when that gets hard. I'm like, okay, it's time to take a break, reset. Like, you know, you did good for the amount of time you did, but it's not like I don't need to be out in the field anymore. It's nice. And I love to be out there. I love the job. I love the people that I usually work with. And also just being in the oil field, like watching the equipment and what they do, like seeing the huge trucks they drive and the cranes they bring in and like the amount of equipment that you move, like in a rig move, when a drilling rig moves in a day, seeing one of those get pulled apart, taken it down and moved, like that is just one of the neatest things to see. Or like service rigs, to see them go and, you know, save a pump jack. It's crazy to see all the different pieces, whereas everyone who hasn't been in the oil field's like, oh, so you're on like the pipeline or something. And I'm like, well, I'm on a facility with a little pipeline, but you probably think I'm like some Trans-Canada pipeline. Like,
yeah, you're just out there wrecking the environment when really all you're doing is making their houses warm and enough petrochemical to make another iPhone or a TV, right?
Yeah, yeah. We're just out there maintaining what's going. Like, and also if you've ever seen a location and like when they do clearings and stuff, the replanting and everything, like you can tell, like, oh, they built a pipeline there 15 years ago because those trees are 15 years old and you can tell everything's grown back in perfectly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's cool too. Like,
oh yeah, no, we do it. We do a great job and we don't advertise how good of a job in Alberta, Western Canada, how we do reclamation and how we do reforestation and how we do all of the things that you have to do to be a good responsible partner. I firmly believe we don't tell our story.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear you say like you pick and choose your time, because the oil field is essentially built on people who have to come back for the money and have to stay for as long. Like if there's ever an OnlyFans for dirty old roughnecks, we're all in trouble, because that's why people are there, right?
Tell me. I know there's a few back truck drivers, not any from a podcast, but like, because wow, if you just say back truck driver, people will assume, like people love to put words in your mouth. And it's like, no, I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about the seven other, like, yeah. I know tons of back truck drivers, but it's like, unfortunately, those people, they've made the living where generally they have a wife at home and kids, and they need to do that to support their family, and so they have to work that lifestyle, whereas I don't have anyone besides myself to pay for. And I kind of have my own life to take care of, and besides that, like I try and see my friends and family as much as I can. And next week, to spoil myself early for my 30th birthday, I have an amazing Airbnb booked in Kelowna for me and my best friends for a week. So I'm super excited. And yeah, there's a hot tub.
Well, and like you get to do things like that and you're not beholden to the schedule that somebody else is directing for you. And that was like, I worked on drilling rigs. It's been 20 years since I was out there, but like I loved the actual work. It was driving from Saskatchewan to Beaver Lodge and then living in the Beaver Lodge Motor Inn. And that was the part I hated, but actually at work, like that was a great part. So if you can get to the point where you're only doing it on your own terms, like being a medic in the oil field is something you can do for a long, long time if you're doing it on your terms.
Yeah, totally. And I haven't burnt any bridges by any means. Like, I still, and I have a fair amount of medics that will go out on the limb and would recommend me with the companies that they work for because they know who I am and some of them want to work with me. So that's a bonus.
Yeah, and that's I think that's a testament to, you know, your professionalism when you're out doing that day job. It speaks to how you're able to put a line of demarcation out and say, this is who I am when I'm here, and then when I go and do my own thing, you're welcome to follow along. You're welcome to your point, scroll past it, right?
And even I have recently had a few truck drivers who are, they'll notice me from like driving past my location kind of thing. They're like, "Oh, are you that medic in this area?" I'm like, "I am." They're like, "Oh, that's so cool. I saw you." And I'm like, "Oh, like it's kind of cool for me too." Or the I can't remember her name, but the chick at Subway recognized me. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so like it's super cool when people recognize me, but maybe like also it's also cool if they say like I recognize you from TikTok, because I'm like, how much did you click? I
Well,
remember one time I was in Red Deer grocery shopping in the bread aisle, and I like felt kind of like this guy was like staring at me. So I kind of look back at him and he's looking at me and I'm like, he's like, "I recognize you from TikTok." I was like, "Oh, hi." But I was like, "Oh, hi," because I'm like awkward. I don't know what to think.
and I don't know how many times you'd have to have that interaction before you'd be good at it, because it is so unnatural at first, right?
Yeah. I don't think you ever get good at it.
That's
Like,
this.
what? Because I see big creators who, if you have kind of an awkward personality, you never really want to assume either that someone knows who you are, because you don't want them to be like, "Oh, you've seen me," and then be like, "No." Like, that's even more awkward.
Yeah, that's worse for sure it is. But that's part of it though. Like, I think the whether or not it was ever like a stated goal, obviously a certain level of fame was the goal. Like, that's why you do stuff like that, because you want to try and make some extra money, and for that people have to know who you are. So you kind of have to come to terms with that, because like you say, if you're awkward or shy, you have to admit to yourself that you did this for the attention,
Oh,
right?
completely.
Yeah.
And I love it. Like, I would love to plan like a TikTok meetup or something this summer, but I'm like, I don't even know how to go about that.
Well, you have to get Dick involved, because I was just chatting with him back and forth about his podcast, and the next thing I knew, I was on a live with him and recording it, and there's people talking in the comment section, and I'm like, you know, I think you're going to be like episode like 90 or 91. Like, I'm not brand new to podcasting, and that was like a whole new wild experience for me. Like, at the end of it, I was like, that was something. That was an hour and a half of my life that I never expected to have to have. So what did your parents think when you and your family, when you started, you know, when the word got out that you had this other side gig? With like, I mean, you're a grown up and you can make your own decisions, but every person to some degree or another wants that kind of, you know, validation of the people around them, the people you love. What was that conversation like?
So just happened with my mom a couple weeks ago, and she was super understanding, but she's always told me like she'll never judge me. Like, if I ever need a phone call, if I'm ever in an unsafe place, call her, no questions asked. Like, she will help me get out of any situation. She'll support me no matter what. She loves me, she cares about me. And so I think that was one thing I knew going into this. I'm like, I know no matter what, like, I know some girls, if they did it, their families would cut ties completely, be like, "You're not welcome at our table." And that's not the case for me by any means. And I love that. And then I actually haven't told my dad yet, because I feel like even when I do tell him, it'll be like a one-time conversation and we probably won't talk too much more about it, because I don't, you probably don't want to know much about your daughter in that way. And that's one thing I told my mom is, I'm like, you can ask me any questions, I'm an open book, but once you know the questions and have the answers, you can't unknow that. So right. keep them in mind. And then I have an older brother who's 3 years older than me. And we talked on the phone. And I was like, so I feel like you probably heard through the grapevine that I do this. And he's like, yeah. I was like, okay, so that's probably as much as we need to talk about on this front. He's like, okay. It's like, yeah, like I'm happy. I make good money. But yeah, okay, talk. We don't need to talk about it anymore. And that was it with him. So it's nice in that aspect. And then like I have a couple cousins like who were super supportive when I told them. But besides that, I haven't reached out to too many people because I'm like, you don't really need to know. If you find out, you can find out on your own terms. But it's not like I want to go to the family reunion and be like, hey, guys.
Yeah.
If anything, I've started telling people, like, when guys at work, because the last crew I worked with didn't know what I was doing. So I told them, I was like, oh, I actually have a side business and I help with social media marketing and managing that. Yeah. So, which I do for myself.
Yeah, it's not. You might be like a slight downplay of that, but that's not untrue by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
But it's just, I've heard somebody else talk about this where they talked exactly like you said. There was some key people in their life that they wanted to make sure that they were straight up with. But the rest of it, it's like, if they find it, it's probably because they were out there looking for it. And it's like, you know, who's like, you were there looking and this is what you found. So let's just quit pretending that one of us is more superior than the other. And we can all just be grown-ups about it, right?
Oh, yeah, because that's another thing with TikToks. Like, my best friend, she has all cats and dogs on her TikTok feed. And her husband has all do-it-yourself, making your house, like, Bluetooth-controlled. And so the only reason I ever pop up on their page is because they've gone to my thing to, like, look at me and follow me, interact with me a little bit. But besides that, they don't see anything like me. So I'm like, if I'm coming up on your page, what else are you looking at?
Like, well, and that's like, I had a Twitter account for years before I started the podcast, and I just through my own, you know, I was the person that culled and curated my own Twitter feed, and it started to frustrate me. So in the summer of 2021, I think I canceled it. I just shut it down. It was like 10 or 12 years old. And I started one for the podcast, and I don't follow very many people, but the algorithm picks up on what I do stop and look at, right? And yeah. I find TikTok's the same. I don't really follow a lot of people. Interacting with Dick for the last little while, it's starting to kind of get a little bit out of control. I can't pinpoint why I'm seeing things, but you know, I can tell if my daughter picks up my phone and scrolls through TikTok, because it's just, up until not that long ago, it's just a numbered account user, whatever. Yeah. I mean, and I could tell if she had been looking, because it would be things that I'm not all that interested in. And then I would scroll my own TikTok for a couple of days, and it would start to be more things. And then somebody would come up, and it would be like somebody I thought I recognized or something. And I would kind of drill down into it. And then I would see a whole bunch of stuff like that. And it was like, this is actually a super powerful tool, but it also tells on you, right? There's no getting around it. The algorithm doesn't lie.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So when you're deciding like how this goes, I think I've noticed a trend with some of the stuff that you do. You talked about the UFA videos with your Walker Wheeler song. Like, how did you decide? Did you just do that one time and it was a hit? So you've been doing that, or what? Like, yeah, when you're doing that, how do those ideas come up? I guess is what I'm asking.
So I can't dance. I have no rhythm. And I did that dance. And then it's literally people being like, can you do it again? So I'm like, okay, I could do it again. Or like, anytime it rains and I have anything that's like a microphone, I want to be outside there like Karen Smith on Mean Girls and be like, there's a 30% chance it's already raining or whatever it is. And so it's just like, it's really like, if something takes off and people ask me to do it again, I'm going to do it again. And now, like, I'm even like, should I still do it? The people keep asking me to. And it's guaranteed. Like when I post a video of me doing that dance, I know I'm going to get at least a few thousand views. Whereas my other TikToks right now are, some are having trouble hit 1,000. And I'm like, I have 100,000, 110,000 followers. What are we doing here, TikTok?
Yeah, I actually, that was one of my questions was like, if you ever, if you hear that song, like outside of that in real life, you must just like be had enough of it, right? Like that's the type of thing that's very work focused for you now.
No, I'm like, it's on my Spotify playlist. Like when I road trip, it'll come on and I'll be like passing lane. And I drive a strong standard. So this was me shifting when I did that.
So it's not, it hasn't worn out its welcome yet. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, like I still really enjoy the song. I just feel like kind of like I've overkilled it and I shouldn't do it anymore. But like people are still asking, so I'm still going to do it. But generally it's just seeing other people's ideas. Like you just go off of it. Like I saw a bunch of different girls had ordered Hooters outfits off Amazon. So I got one in the mail yesterday.
Well, you got to give the people what they want. So if they're still asking for the Walker Wheeler videos, you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. So the one of the things I always like to talk about with people that are on their second act and doing something a little bit different is how they manage their mental health when you try something new like this, whether you quit your job to try and open a bakery or do fancy cakes or play your guitar for a living or start an OnlyFans, there's lots of days where it's great, but there's some days where it isn't. Well, how do you manage that?
My best friend is probably like my lifeline. I don't have a counselor. Thought about getting one, but it's really hard with counseling because it's like, I don't want to pay someone to judge me. And so I need to find someone who's very open and understanding when I do that. And I just haven't done that. So I just use my best friend as my mental health kind of thing. And she's like, she's my number one. I call her when I'm happy, when I'm sad, when I have good views. Like she's been there since day one when I opened up my OF account. I was like, oh my God, I got my first subscriber. And now I'm like, man, it's a slow day. Like hardly got five people. And I'm just like, she's like, do you remember the start where we were? And I was like, yeah, I do. And so she's my biggest cheerleader, my biggest lifeline, my help. And yeah, so without her, I don't think I would be where I'm at, or I definitely would have had a bit of a mental breakdown or two before now.
Well, shout out to best friends. I know we all rely on those type of people no matter what. Even if we're not doing something quite as soul bearing, I guess, as starting an OF. And forgive me for my ignorance. I don't subscribe to any OnlyFans. Is like the amount of subscribers you have public? Can you log and go to your thing and see that?
So you can't actually see it publicly unless the creator has it turned on. But at one point, if you Google a person, which don't do unless you want to be able to see and know everything about them, because there is leaked stuff out there. But at one point, I was Googling myself, and there was a fan stat, and it had said what percent I was at, or they assumed I was at, how many subs they thought I had, my current Instagram, TikTok, other followers. And I was like, this is pretty spot on. Like, oh, wow. This is weird, but like, this is pretty, like, and I haven't seen that app or that website. I think that was a year ago I found it or something, but I was like, that's wild. So you can like, and you can kind of tell too with creators, like the bigger ones who like have bigger content and stuff, you can tell why. Like they, like one chick from Edmonton, Alberta, Jessie Switch, she made over $1 million last year and bought her mom a house to retire in. But she works 12 hours a day. She's putting out content daily. She has a huge variety of content. And I'm like, okay, so she works probably like 100 times harder than I do. And so I see, like, I look at her, she's one of the people who I kind of look for and for inspiration. I'm like, okay, so this is what she's doing every day. She's making TikTok, she's interacting. But not only on that, like on her paid sites, she offers help on making like a Tinder bio and like different stuff like that, which I also love and would like to get into, because it's like, you know, the guys, I probably have, let's say, 30 guys that interact with me almost on a daily. And it's nice to have that everyday interaction. And some people just want someone to talk to. And like, honestly, I'm starting to think, be like, what's for dinner? Can you guys give me dinner ideas? Like, let's just have a little low-key conversation. Cause I know, like, yeah, they're there for the spicy content, but they're also there because it's me and they want to know who I am, or they like my personality. Or maybe there's some people that are just there for my body. But generally, I think it's a bit of me and the personality behind it that really brings people in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, it has to be. Otherwise, you know, the body part of it, there's other women that have your general proportions out there. And the reason why you're being successful is something struck a chord, right?
Oh, yeah. And I definitely think part of it was being in the oil field and having that crossover there. And like, I have a fair amount of people being like, oh, I saw the high viz, what do you do? And the amount of people that think I'm a truck driver, like, all I do is post me fueling up. That's all I think. People are like, I can't believe you do that. And I'm like, since I've gotten bigger, I make sure I don't post any equipment, any names, any people, like anything. Like, I would love it if all the guys on location would get together and do a TikTok with me, but like, no, like, yeah, it's just not going to happen.
Well, it's funny, cause when I had Dick on the podcast, you know, almost a year ago now, he told me flat out, anything with a hard hat or the reflective stripes, he's like, it's going to jump. It's going to boost. That's just, it picks it up. It knows it. And people want to see that stuff. So for my little promo that I did, I just wore an old hard hat, and sure enough, like where the rest of my videos are getting 100, 200, 300, that one got like 7,500, like boom, somebody promoted it within, and away it went. So
yeah, like even when I took about a year off, I would sit here and I would just go get my hard hat to wear in lives, just because people are like, oh, I haven't seen you in anything for a while. Or I would just go for a drive in my car with my stuff, like especially when I wasn't working, I'd wear like just the stripes in a summer dress and go to a pump jack and make TikToks, because I know once I put that in the background, especially if I'm wearing a bikini or a summer dress, people are going to go wild. And it's like, I'm in a farmer's field somewhere, dude. Like,
yeah, there's nothing like, oh, in real life, there's not that much sexy. It stinks. Probably there's staining on the ground. Like, it's not, yeah, what you think it is.
Yeah.
So what is, I like to end the podcast when we're talking with people on their second act about the idea of success and what they thought success was going to be when they embarked upon this, and what they think success is now, and how, you know, what's driven the difference between maybe what they thought success was going to be when they started and what they think success is now.
I probably have always linked success a lot to money.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like at the start, I had a bunch of stupid debt. I bought a vehicle that was a lemon. That was my first loan. And then that rolled into credit cards and stuff. So I just made a lot of poor life choices kind of financially. And so I was like, oh, to be successful, it's like, oh, to buy a house, to, you know, be able to go on trips and everything. I always kind of saw that, which is tied to finances. Whereas now I'm like, okay, like the finance part, I'm lucky enough. I'm at a point where I don't really need to think about it too much. Like, I do want to make good investments and whatnot, but it's like, I'm not so much about, I want a huge house. I'm like, I would like nice property so that I could have fires. And then I could, like, if I have a creek, like, honestly, lazy river through my yard, that would be dream goals. Like, I don't need a big house. Like, it's more about the environment. And, like, success is being able to do what you want with the people you love and really choosing your day-to-day life and how you want to spend it and not being on the clock for someone else and being unhappy.
What a great podcast. Emma really couldn't have been more open about what goes into the decision to start an OnlyFans and then what goes into living with that decision. I think that was probably the part that surprised me the least and the most, is how much of living with that decision there is. You just, I guess you don't understand how many people are in that world and looking for that kind of content until you see it's people in your everyday life. And for her, it's in her everyday life. She's running across these people that know what she does. And I think, you know, for the most part, people are cool with decisions that adults make, but there's always going to be people who, when they can't control something, you know, it's a problem. And I think her tact of dealing with that is really refreshing. You know, it's not going to be for everybody, but it doesn't have to be. And I think that's what I took away from that conversation. So I just think it's a really fun conversation to have with somebody who's willing to talk about it. And that's why I was so excited to sit down with her and chat. It was really a lot of fun just plowing through these Women's History Month great episodes. I mean, Alicia last week and Maggie the week before, like these women are, you know, doing their own thing. They're finding their way. And I think that's the most exciting part, because there's people out there that are, you know, feel like they've got so much invested into their current path that they're not doing anything else. And that's, you know, obviously Maggie showed us that just because you have something invested into it, if it's not making you happy, you don't have to stick with it. So that's just another one that we've got lined up. It was a lot of fun. We can't wait for the next few that are coming out. We feel like we're getting into that real, real sweet spot with some of the guests. So we're excited to keep bringing it to you. So as we always say, there are no wrong answers. There's no test at the end. Make the most of every day.
The Second Act Podcast would like to thank Ben Sound for the intro and outro music, Happy Rock. We'd also like to thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please like, subscribe, or whatever the service you're using to listen to uses to measure how much you like something. Join us next time on the Second Act Podcast. When you're listening back to this, Dad, you're being loud as hell.